Thank you very much. Thank you, Sensei Pam. Dear brothers, I'm teaching fundamental theology at the Catholic University, Peter Pázmány in Budapest. So as an official, I deal with the interpretation and formulation of faith and examination of how the presentation of the history of salvation has evolved over the centuries at the levels of human education and human culture. The most exciting period, however, is the first 2 centuries when the generation following the apostles formulated, and it was necessary, defended their own faith in an often hostile environment, the Roman Empire, and determined the creed which had not actually been changed for 2,000 years. What was their secret and what was their thinking? How did use of Christian words and independent teaching develop? I would like to answer all of these questions in the short presentation which characterizes the generation and hermeneutics of the first defenders of the Christian faith, the apologists. This is a Faculty of Theology of the Catholic University, the flash, is our building, Budapest. The talk about God has been decisive in people's lives since the beginning of human history. The word God itself originates from the bright sky, that is, from a mysterious phenomenon. The concept of God is present in the lives of all peoples and cultures, and this refers to the supernatural thinking of man alone on earth. The experience of God, the word spoken about him, is at the same time an explanation and interpretation and exegesis. The search for God reached its high form in the Jewish Christian revelation in Apocalypse. Here it is not man but God who speaks, namely in man's interest. When he speaks in different ways and in a way that is comprehensible to man, then God gives himself, and thus man learns something about God. According to our faith, the knowledge of God was brought by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second divine person. When he became flesh, he incarnated, he lived among us, taught and brought to us the redemption. For 2,000 years, man has been interpreting, explaining, investigating the great mystery of redemption, which not only transformed individuals in their inner spiritual life, but also formed a new way of thinking and culture and social organization as well. In fact, the thinking characteristics of the first Christian apologists was already justified by the Old Testament prophets with external and internal arguments. The prophets proved the irrationality of pagan polytheism with logical arguments. They pointed out the unsustainability of idolatry and proved that God cannot be a work of human creation because he is a pure spirit. We could read Deuteronomy and Isaiah. The wise men appeared in the centuries before Christ, who in their writings gave answers to people's questions with the help of reason in accordance with the thinking of the time. Life, death, poverty, vials. Jesus works in a manner typical of prophets and wiser men, but he teaches with authority. He justifies himself and his teaching with his divine authority. External signs and miracles, but above all his resurrection, confirm his divine person. On the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter points out the reasonableness of faith when he tells his listeners about the resurrection of Jesus. God justified Jesus of Nazareth before you by the mighty miracles and signs which, as you also know, he wrought among you, And later he argues this way when he refers back to the scene of the Transfiguration. We don't base ourselves on fables when we made known to you the power and appearance of Jesus Christ. Peter is confident in his teaching and probes the fulfillment of the prophecies with arguments taken from the Holy Scriptures. He refers to the fact, the reality of Christ's resurrection as motive of credibility, motivum credibilitatis, obligation of faith. The preaching and the prophecies of the Old Testament reached the fulfillment in Jesus Christ, but it was not a simple explanation because the apostles' preaching was blessed with miracles by the grace of God. The structure of the apologetic teaching, a model of the apostles, can be found in the great defense of faith speech of the deacon Stephen, who argues against the accusations from the Old Testament scriptures. The apostle Paul speaks to the Greeks in Athens on the Areopagus and tells them about the God whom they worship as the unknown God, Agnostos Theos. He quotes Greek poets, Aratos, Cleantes, Pindaros, when he says, "We are sons of God." Paul will prove in detail in his letters that Jesus is the Savior and the law only prepared his way. Saul of Tarsus grew up in the Jewish diaspora of Cilicia at the beginning of the first century Anno Domini, and for him the environment meant intellectual and spiritual enrichment, in addition to the relatively little personal information, taking into account the cultural conditions of the time. We can draw with reliable accuracy the learning opportunities of a young intellectual respective Jewish child. For the young soul, as for all Jewish children, the Bible was his number one reading, which also determined his personal development. Probably Paul's classing and behavior also gave the impression of an intellectual. In an orator's toga, with a scroll in his hand and sandals on his feet, he looked like a philosopher. In Tarsus, as in the other countries of the Greek-speaking diaspora, education was based on classical education and thinking, so a bilingual or even trilingual education was completely clear. The letters of the other apostles explain the foundation of Christian teaching and reject errors in the field of faith and morality. The name of apologetics comes from the verb apologeistai, apologeomai, to defend, explain, and refers the study of motives and signs to prove the possibility of faith and show why one can believe. In this understanding, the relationship between faith and salvation is decisive because he who believes will be saved, and he who does not believe will be damned. Apologetics wants to prove that only rationally founded faith can be a human act. We call them apologists from the 2nd and 3rd century Anno Domini, Christian writers who lived in the 2nd and 3rd century, and answer the questions that arose against the Christian faith in an appropriate way in their own cultural environment. In the 2nd century, Christian teachings was opposed to pagan philosophy. The accusations of the time were Christians are godless because they don't honor the gods of Rome. Their secrecy covers sins. They are lawbreakers because they not follow the emperor's orders. They are insensitive because they despise life. The oldest textual witness from this period is the Apology of Quadratus, which he presented to Emperor Hadrian. Among them, early authors is the Athenian philosopher Aristides, 2nd century, who addressed his apology to either Hadrian or Antoninus Pius. In both cases, only fragments of the original work are available to us. One of the most significant apologists of the time was Justin, born in Palestine, who later taught in Rome and died there as a martyr. His works, Dialogue with the Jew Tryphon, which took place in 135 for 2 days in Ephesus, as well as the first Apology and second Apology. The two writings, created around 153, originally formed a single unit. As a worthy of mention are Tatianus, the Syrian, second century, discourse against the Greeks, and the Athenian Christian philosopher Athenagoras, petition in the case of the Christians, Presbyteia, between 176 and 180, and the three books to Autolycos by the bishop of Antioch, Theophilus. In the Latin world, we could mention Tertullian, stands out for his many apologetic writings. There are his works entitled Apologeticum, De Prescriptione Hereticorum, Ad Scapulam, Adversus Praxean, and Adversus Omnes Hereses. Minucius Felix, the second, third century, Octavius, the title of his work, Cyprian, on the unity of the Church, De Ecclesia Catholicae Unitate, can also be listed here, and idols are not gods, quod idola di non sint. Arnobius, against the nations adversus nationes, and Lactantius, divine teachings. Christians primarily had to protect themselves from popular beliefs related to them. At the beginning of the second century, they already formed a specific part of society. Christians were regularly attacked. This is witnessed by Platonic philosopher Chersos, through speech ho aletes logos around 180, and then by the Syrian Neoplatonist Porphyrios in their works against the Christians. Opponents of Christianity relied on traditional Hellenistic values. Some apologists rejected pagan culture altogether, such as Tertullian. What has Athens to do with Jerusalem? What does the academy have to do with the church? But this was not general behavior. For Justin, all that is good in paganism also belongs in Christianity, to Christianity, because in some way all truth is related to logos, to the word. All that the pagans possess in part or in germ-like manner, the Christians received completely through revelations. Thus, Christians found the truth of philosophy in Christ because it partakes of the one logos. Prominent ecclesiastical writers of the second and third century are Tertullian and Origen, and Clement of Alexandria, Irenaeus, too. But during the defense of the Christian faith, the apologists had to answer not only questions from the pagan world, but also criticism from the Jews. The central issues were the interpretation of Scripture and its prophetic meaning. Apologists do nothing new with the use of the New Testament to explain the Old Testament and vice versa. In this respect, the dialogue with the Jew Tryphon provides a typical example of the debate that pitted Christians and Jews against each other during the second century. However, Justin did not completely reject pagan culture, nor did he turn the God of the Old and New Testament against each other, as Marcion did. But also he avoided the negative attitude towards Judaism, which is so typical of the epistle of Barnabas. Others following him already speak of the symphony of the two covenants, Irenaeus and Origen. By the end of antiquity, the role of paganism ceased, but the confrontation with Judaism remained throughout the Middle Ages. The Church Fathers consider the Old Testament to be a prototype, typos, of the New Testament, and the Concordia Veteris et Novi Testamenti also extends into the Middle Ages. After the apologists, a better formulation of the newness of Christianity still had to be developed in this regard the person of Origen, who highlighted the relationship between history and spirit during his interpretation of the Holy Scriptures, is a decisive factor. And the ending, now I would like to present some scholars who analyze and show us the apologist hermeneutics, which method of interpretation they used. In the work of Charles Meunier, Justin's Apologies and the Dialogue of the Jew Tryphon, we encounter a specific method. This is not a complete explanation, said Meunier, not a systematic presentation of Christian teaching, but it wants to arouse interest in Christianity for pagans. In fact, apologists create the first theological words. In the case of the apostolic fathers and apologists, it must also be taken into account that for the Jews, the Holy Scriptures are the living Torah, the legal interpretation of which is the Mishnah, and the explanation of which is the Talmud. For Christians, it's different. Christ became the Word made flesh. The message of the entire Bible is that God has spoken. The verb dabar runs throughout the entire scriptures, Meunier said. Benedict theologian Ghislain Lafon died last year, a professor of the Gregorian University in Rome, writes in his book The Theological History of the Catholic Church that Christianity defined itself as a road to salvation, in which the remembrance of Jesus Christ was important, spiritual supernatural cognition, apocalyptic expectation, and evangelical ethics. These four concepts are the framework of the theology of apologists, the talk about the mystery of Christ. As Claudio Gianotto notes, in the beginning, the development of the Jesus movement and the development of memory were important. Jesus, a charismatic leader, undertook the internal renewal of Judaism. The first evangelists did not just want to pass on their own story, but set out on the mission of Jesus. And two scholars, a new concept appears during the preaching, the tradition for Asman, the passing of the memory of Jesus. And the last, the part of rabbinical Pharisaic training was constant repetition, said Birger Gerhardsson, Swedish New Testament scholar and professor in the Faculty of Theology at Lund University. He wrote a memory and manuscript transmission in rabbinic Judaism and early Christianity. In the first 2 centuries of Christianity, the formulation of teaching of faith was decisive importance. In addition to the revelation of the Old and New Testament, apologists have already used philosophical thinking to interpret the salvation that has taken place in Christ. This was of universal significance, so that original form of scripture interpretation, a new hermeneutic, was developed. Thank you for your attention.